going to call the Tax Committee to order, and Representative Simon is here, I heard. Great. It's okay. Representative Simon, we don't have a quorum to actually move your bill, but let's start.
Great.
So thank you for being with us today. And we are discussing House Bill 1691.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair and members, for your time and attention. I appreciate it. I know during this time of year you get a lot of these kinds of requests. Before I turn it over to an expert to tell you a little bit more about this, members, House File 1691 would just amend an existing tax credit. I know the chair is not particularly fond of tax credits, but this is an existing tax credit, and it just changes the definition to allow a home, among others, of course, a homegrown Minnesota entity to take advantage of this, particularly in the area of eating disorders. And I have a personal and sentimental attachment not only to this issue, but to the particular folks who are coming forward with this, who you'll hear from in a minute. In another life, in the 90s and into the early 2000s, I was with the Attorney General's office, and one of the most gratifying and personally rewarding cases that I worked on had to do with this issue and the issue of mental health in general, and with a variant of eating disorders as well. And I got to work with someone named Kitty Weston, who couldn't be here today, who at one point we thought could be here today to testify. She won't be here. Got to work with her, and she became an activist on this issue as a result of a tragedy in her family having to do with her daughter, the late Anna Weston. And because of her activism, we're now in a position to be bringing this bill, House File 1691, because Minnesota is now, in part due to her efforts and the efforts of her organization, really a leader where it wasn't before in the area of eating disorders. And so all this would do is expand the definition so as to include a for-profit entity such as the Emily Program that you'll hear from in a minute to take advantage of this research tax credit. There's already ongoing research, and it's important that we continue it and that we incentivize it. So I'd like to turn it over, as I said, to an expert from the program to tell you a little bit more about the particulars.
Okay, welcome. And if I may first, Representative Slocum, would you be willing to move House File 1691 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill? Representative Slocum moves the bill, so it is before us. Welcome to the committee.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair, members. Thank you for allowing me to come speak with you today. My name is Dr. Jillian Lampert, and I'm from the Emily Program, as Steve said. And I am a clinician and a researcher and one of the senior directors of the Emily Program. And the Emily Program is a full-spectrum eating disorder treatment program. We're one of the largest eating disorder programs in the country, if not the largest, and really thanks to a lot of the efforts that have been done by a number of folks in our state, including Kitty Weston. And so today I want to talk to you about our research program, which we have a really active research program going right now. We have about 8 to 12 studies at any given time annually that start at the Emily Program. And we do these studies in conjunction primarily with the University of Minnesota, the Departments of Psychiatry, and the Department of Nutrition, which is my home department. I'm also on faculty with the university. And the studies really seek to advance the knowledge in the field of eating disorders and really help us better understand what constitutes effective treatment, because we have a number of effective treatments for eating disorders, and we frankly need more. And so we're really committed to, as part of our treatment program, participating in research that allows us to answer questions our patients have and we as providers have about what works well in the treatment of eating disorders. So the Emily Program financially supports these studies with a research coordinator and a number of research assistants that are on my staff, and supports time of the clinician investigators to conduct the research. And in addition to the University of Minnesota, we participate with students and faculty of the University of St. Thomas, St. Mary's University, Argosy University, to name a few. And we're really a preferred site for students and faculty members who are interested in doing eating disorder research and come and do it with us. We also have three nationally recognized eating disorder treatment and research experts on staff at the Emily Program. That includes Dr. Scott Crowe, who is really a world-renowned psychiatrist and has done some really incredible groundbreaking research in eating disorders. Dr. Carol Peterson, who does research in the area of eating disorder assessment and treatment designs and implements new treatments. And then myself, I do research in sports participation in eating disorders and also in the nutritional treatment of eating disorders. And the investigator in a large study of the Anna Weston House, which is our residential program. And these are all affiliated, again, with the University of Minnesota. So I just want to tell you a brief bit about three of our studies that we have going on right now. One, we looked at the experience of people who undergo the process of commitment for their eating disorder, and we did this study in conjunction with Hennepin County, because Hennepin County came to us and said, we really want to improve this process of eating disorder clients. Can you help us? So we did a study interviewing individuals experiencing the commitment process due to their eating disorder. And as a result, the EMILY program and Hennepin County have improved the process of commitment for people specifically with eating disorders. And our people who have experienced that feel like they have their voices have been heard and treatment has been improved. The second study is a yoga and body image study. It's a questionnaire-based study looking at the impact of yoga, which is a very popular new eating disorder treatment that a lot of programs are adopting. And we at the EMILY program decided that if we will adopt a new treatment program, we actually have to show some outcomes with it. So we have an ongoing study of 9 different yoga and body image groups based on previous literature showing that yoga seems to be effective in the treatment of eating disorders. And this study is really adding to that literature showing that yoga does seem to have a very effective piece to eating disorder treatment, and it's a skill and a practice that people can take with them after treatment. And we're always interested in people getting high-quality treatment while they're with us, but also providing them with the skills to prevent relapse once they leave us. And we believe that yoga will be a piece of that. And then the third study that's really important to us and exciting to us is we participated in a DSM-5 field trial study. So the DSM-5 is the new diagnostic and statistical manual that defines mental health disorders, and including eating disorders. And we conducted the largest DSM-5 field trial in the country because of the volume of our patients. And the study was important in shaping the new DSM manual, which will be out next month. And all this research is, like I said, conducted with the University of Minnesota. It's approved by the EMILY Program Research Committee, as well as the University of Minnesota Institutional Review Board and other participating institutions if they participate. All the research is conducted for the purpose of developing new knowledge in eating disorder treatment, assessment, and diagnosis and prevention. All research is subject to review by our research committee, which is comprised of individuals with expertise in the subject who are not associated with the study, so really an unbiased review. And all of those people have no financial interest in the outcome of the study. So the research we conduct is not just, important to note, not just routine evaluation of how we do, but really advancing the field of eating disorders, generating evidence to contribute to prevention assessment, treatment design, and implementation. So for those reasons, we request consideration of this bill.
Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, Representative Simon.
As I'm sure members have seen, there was a revenue estimate on this. It is a zero. Which is a change from a previous iteration of this bill in a previous session, and that's because this bill is a pared-down, streamlined version of that that only has the research piece in it and nothing else. So the revenue estimate was zero.
Okay, great.
So thanks, members, for your consideration. I know this is laid over for possible inclusion. Thanks for your time and attention.
Great, thank you. And thank you, Dr. Lampert, for being here. I just have to ask, is there anyone else who wants to testify for or against this bill? Questions? If not, we're going to lay this over for possible inclusion of omnibus tax bill. Thank you for being here.
Thank you,
Representative Simon. I'm sorry. We can talk about later, not here. Thanks. Members, we have, if it's okay, we're going to have Representative Marquardt go last because I understand Representative Erickson and Davids both have folks here from out of town. Is that right, Representative Erickson? Do you have? Please join us, Representative Erickson. And you do, Representative Davids, right?
Yes.
Yeah, so we'd like to get those people done before in case we have to come back tonight. And we're actually trying to not come back tonight, but we will if we don't finish these bills. So, Representative Anzels, I'm sure you're willing to move House Bill 1696 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Chair, move the bill for possible inclusion.
Okay, great. So the bill is before us. Representative Erickson, welcome.
Thank you, Madam
Chair. I'm sorry. Representative Anzels is now going to move your DE1, if you would like. Is that
yes,
what you're
doing? Okay. Thank you. Yeah.
So Representative Anzels moves at H1696 DE1. Author's amendment to get it in the form he would like it. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Erickson.
Thank you. And this is a bill that came through the Senate, I believe, yesterday. We added one little line of clarification that they'll have to change. And it's that Some electric cooperatives have been getting charged this sales tax, and most of them were not. So this is just a clarification bill, and I'll turn it over now to Joel here to explain or answer questions.
Mr. Johnson, welcome.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. My name's Joel Johnson. I'm with the Minnesota Rural Electric Association. Our association is made up of the 44 distribution co-ops and 6 generation and transmission co-ops in the state. Contribution and aid to construction is a tool that's been used by utilities throughout the country. We've used it, co-ops have used it for close to the 80 years that they've been in existence. What it is essentially when we extend a line out for a new member or significantly upgrade a line, we will ask that member to participate in paying for the upgrades or the cost of building out the infrastructure to provide them service. Up until 2004, we have never been charged sales tax on contribution and aid to construction. In 2004, one of our member co-ops, Beltrami Electric, which serves the area around Bemidji, during their sales tax audit was told that they had to start collecting sales tax on those contributions. As far as we can tell, co-ops are the only utilities that are asked to pay sales tax on contribution and aid to construction. We don't think it is correct. The auditor told Beltrami Electric that she considered this a hookup fee, which we don't think that is a correct interpretation.
Okay, great. Is there anyone who would like to testify for or against this bill? Questions, members? Representative Davids. I'm sorry, Representative Davids and Earhart. Okay, Representative Davids.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd like to thank Representative Erickson for bringing this forward. I think this is a very good bill, a very good idea, clear some things up, and I hope it'll be included in an omnibus bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Davids. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. What is the contribution and aid to construction? Can you give me an example of what that is?
Mr. Johnson.
Madam Chair, Representative Earhart, when we extend a line out to a new customer, typically the electric co-op will pay a certain amount, and then anything above and beyond that, the member is asked to contribute to help pay for the cost of the lines, putting up the poles.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Earhart, further? No. Ms. Dalton, any comments on that we might want to know as it relates to streamline and other kind of sales tax issues in this bill?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, no, this is a pretty straightforward bill, and I do think it's a consistency issue, clarifying what the treatment should be on audit.
Okay, great. Any other questions? Well, Representative Erickson, you didn't bring your treat to the tax committee, but we're going to we're going to put up with that today. We're going to lay your bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Erickson, for being here.
Madam Chair, I may be reconsidering my position.
Thank you. And so now Representative Davids moves. House File 319 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. And I don't know, it looks like you do not have an amendment, Representative Davids. And we appreciate that folks drove in this weather to get to us to testify, so we're glad you're here. Representative Davids.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I'll move House File 319. There are no amendments. I will simply, this bill simply adds two words to current statute. And it says right now you can put a tax on municipal campgrounds, and this includes private. So I'm going to have Julie Keeney from Lanesboro describe the bill, and she'll introduce another guest.
Ms. Keeney, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. My name is Julie Keeney. I'm the Executive Director with the Lanesboro Area Chamber of Commerce, and we support the House Bill 319, expanding the local option for a city to impose a tax of up to 3% on the gross receipts of municipal and private campgrounds. As the law currently allows this tax to be on the municipal campgrounds, we feel this should be extended to include the private campgrounds as well. Lodging tax is the primary revenue stream funding Convention Visitor Bureau activity, all then funding marketing and advertising. The travel and tourism has a very positive economic impact and it supports a wide variety of all the Main Street activity in our area. Our state tourism department has determined that for every dollar invested in this travel tourism advertising, there's an $8 return in both state and local taxes. And in Fillmore County alone, the area, including lodging and camping, brings $4.9 million in gross sales into our county. Specifically in Lanesboro, we have 200 beds, which the current law now we have as part of our ordinance as well to collect the 3%. We have 200 beds, but we have over 700 campsites. And the camping revenues are significant, and they make a measurable impact on our economy. This 3%, if this were enacted, could generate an estimated $20,000 in additional advertising and marketing dollars for our community. I'm going to now introduce another member from Lanesboro who works more directly with our city and our economic development. So go ahead.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members, and Representative Davids for authoring the bill. I support the city of Lanesboro supports.
And I apologize for interrupting. We'd like your name for the record.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Thank you. My name is Keith Baker.
Keith Baker, welcome.
Thank you very much. I serve on Lanesboro's EDA, and I'm also the liaison between the city and the Chamber's board. The city has been collecting 3% lodging tax from the municipal campground since 2010. And to back up just a bit, this tax has been in effect for some time for B&Bs too. So the disconnect, in our view, is that let's say you're the guest at a campground, you don't know who owns the campground, but there's a 3% lodging tax that you pay if it's a municipal campground, but not if it's privately owned. And we just think the disparity should be connected. The revenue, particularly for a town this size, is significant. And while Lanesboro, as some of you know, has been really successful growing a tourism economy over the years, at the same time, there are some pretty good regional efforts going on in surrounding states. And like you, we'd like to see those tourism dollars and the jobs that are created as a result stay in our state and not go across the border. I'd just like to make, I guess, what I think is the obvious point that the direct beneficiaries of the passage of this and these revenue dollars are the businesses who would be charging the 3% lodging tax who are not now currently doing so, in as much as you know, all of the dollars that are collected must be put, according to state statute, back into marketing and advertising for tourism specifically. So thank you very much again for your attention.
Okay, thank you for being here. Is there anyone else who would like to testify for or against this bill? Discussion? There is none. If not, oh, Representative Runbeck.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a quick question, Mr. Baker. What is the cost of a night stay in a typical private campground?
Mr. Baker.
It's 25.
Or Ms. Yeah, Keene.
$25 is a pretty good number.
I see. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Other questions? If not, we really appreciate you coming for the hearing, and we're going to lay this bill up for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Thank you. And Representative Marquardt's up, and as Representative Marquardt walks up, he moves the minutes to approve the minutes for April 2nd and April 3rd. Discussion to the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The minutes of April 2 and 3 are adopted, and Representative Marquardt now moves House File 1570 for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair and members, for hearing this bill. And this bill really was brought to me by a group, the Reform Property Taxes of Minnesota, and Mr. Lee Leichentrick, who is right next here, I think has been at almost every single property tax meeting and almost every tax meeting we've held this year. And so he brought this to me along with Mr. Ralph Erickson here. And members, we know we have more work to do, but I think it's a very, very important discussion. And that is the most important things that our local units of government do is set the budget. And so how can we make that more meaningful where the public actually has input on the budget and to make it as transparent as possible? And we know that in September 15th, when that preliminary levy gets set, that budget for the most part is already set in concrete. There's very little wiggle room when the December meeting occurs. So how can you really get people, the public involved when you're actually setting the budget, when you've got department heads and them actually meeting and going over things where the public really could have a truly more of an impact? So what this bill does is it would require the local unit of government to publish in some format, electronically and otherwise, their budget prior to, I think it's August 31st, and then have a budget meeting before kind of the official preliminary budget meeting. And then besides that, now with the increase in the electronic media and social, how can we get the public more involved, more accessible? And this isn't prescriptive, but it's mainly to get, I know this is a budget year, but even like next year, get to thinking about how we actually get the public involved. And I think, and I know there's city groups that are concerned because there's another meeting here and we haven't, you know, worked all that out. But I would challenge all the local unit government groups that would come down and talk about is how do they plan to increase accessibility of the public. I don't think they, you know, you should just say we're holding a meeting, we expect the public. I think there has to be some outreach and there has to be things, maybe it's Skype or whatever, that during a meeting people could somehow participate electronically. So anyway, I'll turn it over to Mr. Ralph Anderson who has, I think, a few words to say.
I think you called him Mr. Erickson the first time and Mr. Anderson the second
time.
You got it right once. I think it's Mr. Erickson, right?
I'm sorry.
Mr. Erickson, I'm married to someone whose name is Nels Leif Erickson.
Oh.
So I understand the importance of these names. So your name, Ralph Erickson, I didn't forget, but I'm married to Nels Leif Erickson. Welcome, Mr. Erickson.
Thank you. Again, I'm Ralph Erickson. I'm one of the board members of RPT Minnesota, and I'm also a local assessor in Hennepin County. I serve five cities here. And I just wanted to thank the board for hearing this, and thank you, Representative Marquardt, for bringing this forward. I think that, you know, this is actually a fairly simple bill, and it's really the whole idea, as Representative Marquardt has said, is to get people better access to the meetings and actually move the date on the truth and taxation. I know we heard previous testimony in another bill where the truth and taxation meeting is not really working correctly because it's at the end of the period. I don't think we need to go over all of that, but by doing this, moving this to a more timely spot in the budgeting process, and by offering this on some type, I guess it wouldn't really be social media, but electronically, whether it would be Skype or like we'd been on an access cable TV program where people could just call in to the studio and ask questions. And so this is what we were looking at when we brought this forward, is that it would, people could, like everyone says, they could sit in their sweats or their pajamas in their living room and participate in the meeting, not just watch it on cable, but actually be able to ask a question. And so we were pretty excited to even see this in print because we think it would bring a lot more people into the process. And as I said before, I was the only one at my city truth and taxation meeting. There are very few go to these. And even in Hennepin, it's not a huge county, but if you live out in Rockford, and you want to go to your TNT meeting or go to the Met Council, you're probably looking at 50 miles. And that's a deterrent when the meeting starts at 6 o'clock. So thank you very much for letting me speak on this, and I hope you'll consider it.
Great. Nice to see you again. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. And, yes, we have noticed your attendance is superb. Nice to have you here.
I just wanted to say thank you, Chair Lynchewski, for hearing this bill. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for being here. We appreciate it. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify for or against this bill? Because we have a couple people, and then we'll go to questions.
Thank you.
Mr. Carlson, welcome. Something like that.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities.
Just wanted to share a few observations about the structure of the bill with the committee, just so you can be aware. I did visit with Representative Marquardt yesterday, and I did try to do a count of the number of cities over 2,500 that actually have websites. And as far as I can tell right now, there's only one city over 2,500 that doesn't have a website. So I can't guarantee that number. I couldn't do that many Google searches that quickly. But what I've determined is that most every city does have a website, so they could publish or post the preliminary proposed budget information on a website. The two issues I'd like to focus on, though, are the availability of television and internet video capabilities for some of those cities, and that's where I think some of the cities would have a bigger problem with applying this law or complying with this law. The subparagraph III 3 says we must distribute electronically via television or over the internet the televised hearing, and I'm not certain that every city over 2,500 actually has the capability to share live video streams or even stored video streams over their internet sites. So that would be something that we'd have to look at more carefully. And I'm not quite certain exactly what the subparagraph 4 refers to, must allow public input electronically via email or social media, whether that's intended to be live input while the committee meeting's going on or just simply submitting questions that could be responded to after the meeting. But those are some of the issues I think we would have with the application of this law that need to be thought through fairly carefully, lest it become a very large mandate. And then the final comment, this is one additional hearing that would require an additional notification in a local newspaper, so there would be some local impact cost of just simply doing the newspaper notification of the new meeting. And then finally, Representative Marquardt, as a mayor, you know that there are a lot of other hearings that are available for any citizen to come to as the city is preparing their budget. This would isolate one as one where citizen input would be invited, much the way we have required it later on in the process. But we do have ample opportunities for city residents to come to a city council hearing and hear about the local budget all the way through the budget process. With that, Madam Chair, I would stand for any questions.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Carlson, for your testimony. Further testifiers, then we'll go to questions. Welcome, Mr. Burnson.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members. My name is Bo Burnson, represent the Association of Minnesota Counties. I won't echo a lot of what Mr. Carlson from the League of Cities said. We would share some of those technical concerns he raised. I think, generally speaking, our membership's biggest concern with the bill is that we have a truth in taxation process that I think everyone agrees is fairly costly and doesn't necessarily produce the results we want. And there's no certainty in this bill it's going to add to those costs that it is going to get us any closer to achieving those results. I am sensitive to what Representative Marquardt was saying about how we do engage the public and how we do educate them on these budget decisions. And I will say, talking to counties across the state, that they are that they share those concerns and are looking for creative ways of doing so. In fact, in seeking input on Representative Marquardt's bill, I heard from two counties specifically, one metro, one rural, that at one point in the very recent past had attempted to do these exact types of budget hearings and subsequently decided that based on a lack of participation, a lack of folks showing up and interest, that it wasn't there wasn't a justification for spending the taxpayer dollars on it. And I think that anecdote proves two things. One, local governments do have the flexibility to try things like this, and two, because it's not a mandate, they're not getting the results and it doesn't end up being worth the expense, that they have the flexibility to then subsequently go in a different direction. With that, we do appreciate that this conversation is occurring and that there is some discussion about how we can improve the truth in taxation process. We want to be a part of it. We just want to find a way that's going to do it without necessarily just adding on to the costs. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Welcome, Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair, members, Keith Carlson with the Minnesota Intercounty Association. I won't go over the points that were made. I would say conceptually we agree with the author that a way to facilitate input earlier in the process is needed and desirable, but we also do need relief from what is the back end of the process right now, a quite costly process that costs cities, school districts, and counties combined over $3.5 million a year. And this proposal, as it stands right now, does not eliminate any of those costs. It adds costs because of the additional advertisement we have to have and the additional staff costs we have to pay for those individuals we require to stay after normal business hours and to pay them overtime. So we are certainly willing to work with the author on it. There are other mechanical issues that have already been identified. With that, I'll conclude. Be happy to answer any questions.
Okay, any other testifiers? Okay, so questions for any of the five testifiers or Representative Marquardt, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Marquardt, for bringing the bill forward. We heard Representative Davney's bill the other night, and this is similar to this. That was similar to this bill, at least partially, and I think Mr. Carlson pointed out maybe the part of the difference between it. And I think it's good to consider this upfront, and whether we leave the back end as Mr. Carlson talked about it intact or not, to at least get some sort of public focus around this initial maximum budget setting time. And so I like this. I really actually had a question for Mr. Carlson, and one of the things that we talked about the other night was and I think a lot of people struggle with is actually people losing. Is Mr. Carlson still here?
Which one?
Oh, there's two. Mr. Carlson K. what we end up, I think part of the opposition to getting rid of the individual statements is just the fact that the people have them. Is it possible that there would be an opt-in email type system where residents would opt in with the county through their website and type their email address in and say, I want to get emailed my statement, and it would be emailed to them, and you'd be able to avoid a lot of those costs, or would you still have substantially the same costs involved?
Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair, members, there is a national vendor who's attempted to attach email addresses to a postal address. Unfortunately, there's no way that we know of at this time to have certainty that when the individual moves, that that address will be transferred to the new resident, to the new owner. So none of our counties have pursued email notification because of lack of certainty that whatever the notice is, whether it's the preliminary tax statement or the final tax statement, of going to email delivery in lieu of delivery by the normal mail. Certainly, maybe sometime in the future that might be possible, but it does not appear that the technical wherewithal is there to do that right now.
Yes, Representative Drazkowski.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Carlson, so you can look at it a couple different ways. You can look at it and try to envision a system where you would aspire to have everybody's email address and aspire to have it up to speed, up to date, up to address and everything. Probably not doable, maybe never doable. But if you put the onus on the individual and said, if you want to have your statement emailed to you, here's our website, and it's on their website anytime they visit it. Plug in your current email address and your current home address, and if it happens to match up when you run the statements, they get it. If not, they don't get it. The onus is on them to keep it updated. Anyway, that was an idea, but thank you.
Thank you. We have Representative Earhart, then Barrett. Representative Earhart.
I thank you, Madam Chair. I have a feeling that this runs parallel to Representative Davney's new way of looking at and involving the people in the property tax affair, and that maybe one or other or both of it could be put together or something. Mm-hmm. That would be my thought on it.
Representative Earhart, I was kind of thinking the same thing. The Davenport bill we heard, I don't know if you were in here, Representative Marquardt, a couple days ago or yesterday, or I don't know, it's a blur. And your bill have a lot of similar features, but significantly different ones too. And I think you're both trying to kind of do the same thing, is get more information to citizens so they get more involved. But it would be worth a conversation between you two to see what you can come up with. So, Representative Barrett and Loeffler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Marquardt, I love the bill. I think it's a really good step in the right direction. To Mr. Carlson, I'll just make a statement if you'd like to reply to it. That's fine. If not, oh, that's okay, too. But regarding email addresses, you attach an email address to the property tax page. When people move in, you ask an email address on the closing documents, and if there's none there, you delete out the previous email address. It seems like, and we're not going to solve it here, but it just seems like there's probably a simple, in my mind anyway, there seems like a pretty simple solution to attaching email, which I think will save a lot of money and will get people information sooner and ongoing throughout their home ownership.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Senator Representative, again, I agree completely it would be a desirable outcome, but again, without the certainty that that individual is still residing at the property, we continue to basically have to rely on the mail for delivery of these statements, both the truth and taxation. We could certainly go to the expense of accommodating this without having the certainty that it's always going to get delivered to the correct individual. And, you know, if the committee would want to pursue that, I'll just tell you, I mean, we will probably tell you for certainty that the statement gets there so we get the money on time on behalf of all local governments in addition to the state. I think we'll have to continue to rely on the mail, and this would be an additional parallel system that we would have to run at an additional cost.
Representative Barrett?
I'm good, thank you.
Okay. Representative Loeffler?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and Representative Marquardt. I think you've got an interesting idea about, you know, when's the right place in the process to get public input. And I really like the idea that you're encouraging electronic feedback. And I think, you know, our generation, my generation, might have thought going to meetings was an interesting way to gain information and provide feedback. But I think that the world's changed, and I think many people are much more comfortable doing it on their own time electronically. And as you continue to pursue this, I think we might want to think about whether or not, you know, by a videotape, you know, the city could say, here's the key issues confronting us as we're setting our budget, here's the key decision items, we'd welcome your input, you know, what they think, normal introduction to one of those meetings, and then have it open for a week for people to comment or something. And to me, that would be, you'd probably get a broader range of input across the age band. And you know, I have to say, putting things just on a website or in an official paper isn't a really effective way to outreach anymore. I suspect that 95%, if not more, of the people in Minneapolis have no idea what the legal paper is and have never heard of it. And so it works fine for certain kinds of notices, but in terms of actually inviting the public in, it's not very effective. And we need to just figure out what's the best way to notify taxpayers. And I think you're onto something.
Representative Marquardt?
Well, thank you very much, Madam Chair and members, for this discussion. I think I think we're all on the same page here. I appreciated the suggestions and so forth, because you know, we have at least two folks here, Mr. Eichentrick and Mr. Erickson, who, you know, are citizens who really want to get more involved in this. And I think the truth and taxation system does a good job of notifying people, you know, what their taxes are going to be, but really falls far short of really getting people involved or really having input on the part that's really important that leads to the property taxes. And I think all the suggestions and email and what do you call those things, like when you take a video of yourself, then you send it out on the end. What do you call that?
What'd you crazy?
YouTube.
Well, no. It's well, I know. At Gilmer's Bend and Felton, we have some teachers that do that with their lessons. They will tape themselves, and then the students can. What it's called something.
Podcasting.
Whatever that's
podcast.
Called.
Podcast.
But I would Comcast. Thank you very much. Well, it shows why I need this bill in itself just to learn. But I mean, if you could have department heads of the, you know, the police chief or whatever, explaining, here's our budget, that would go out on computer, and you could log on to the website and actually see this person talking about their budget. So, and then having meetings set up, I just think there's I think it's incumbent upon our local units of government. I mean, as Mr. Carlson said, we're spending $3.5 million on a system that I support if it lives up to what I think we want it to do. But I don't think we do enough as local units of government to do the outreach, and I think that's really important that we do. But thank you so much, and thank for those who came forward and helped me present this bill. So thank you.
Thank you. Unless there's other questions, we're going to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Just a couple things, Representative Davids. I would like to cancel taxes tomorrow. If everybody's willing to, if we still have to hear a bill, we could hear it before we roll out the omnibus tax bill. I am not aware of any bills left in taxes that we have not heard who folks didn't. If you asked for a request, you got a hearing. Now, if you think you didn't, that you have some bill out there that we didn't hear, you know, tell us. I also tried to hear all members of this committee's bill, I think usually even if they didn't ask for a hearing, and we even posted some and people asked us to take them off. So as far as Ms. Jensen's look through, every member of the House who had a hearing request in this committee has had their bill heard this year. And so I'm not aware of any others. There's two people who have talked to me just at the last minute about possibly something, but they're not together. So if we don't meet tomorrow, then we'd have to hear on Monday. So I'm wondering your thoughts, Representative Davids.
Oh, well, thank you, Madam Chair. And what time are you thinking of, Monday?
I guess, you know, here's another complication. Sorry. We were going to roll out the omnibus tax bill Monday, but now it's looking more like Tuesday. So, you know, it wouldn't be Monday before noon. It'd be, you know, afternoon so people could get in. I mean, I don't know what people think. Otherwise, if there's still something hanging out there, I'd intend to meet tomorrow as was posted. But no, with the weather, I think people don't want to be here.
No, Madam Chair, I think that'd be just fine.
Okay. Is everybody good with that? Okay. So we have the meeting Monday posted at 9 a.m. We'll change that to noon so that people can get in if we have to meet. And Representative Davids and I have been talking, and we'll be, you know, working through things and talking about the omnibus tax bill yet before it's unveiled. So with that, members, we are done for today, and we won't meet tomorrow. Representative Drazkowski.
Just quickly, Madam Chair, the only reservation I had is I was looking forward to having the omnibus tax bill rolled out on April 15th.
Well, yeah, I'm not really sure how we're, but I think there's a management of all the omnibus mills moving through Ways and Means, I think, is what's going on here. So, Representative Davids.
Madam Chair, I would just like to simply, as the Republican lead, like to thank you for hearing all the bills, and that's greatly appreciated.
Thank you. Thank you. With that, we're adjourned, and we'll be back here on Monday with everybody. Thank you. We're adjourned.